All right, we're going to look this morning, as I just welcome all of you again, and those of you who might be watching this morning, welcome you to the Hill. And we're in this series entitled Trusting God in the Dark. Now, I want to read two passages. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. Psalm 37, verse 1, David writes, "Don't worry about the wicked. Don't envy those who do wrong. For like grass, they soon fade away. Like springtime flowers, they soon wither. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him, and He will help you. He will make your innocence as clear as the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. Stop your anger. Turn from your rage. Do not envy others. It only leads to harm." So just a clear evidence of God's leadership and watch care in our lives about with regards to what's going on around us, that God is with us. And then we look over at Psalm 62, verse 5 and verse 6. And David writes and he says, "I wait quietly before God, for my hope is in Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken." Let's bow together for just a minute, will you please? Father in heaven, I thank you so much. God, I thank you for speaking to us. Thank you today, Lord, for bringing us here, for working in all of our hearts. You are God and you are sovereign. And I know, Father, that you have sought and you have worked to prepare each of us for the word that you've put in my heart for today. And so, God, we invite you here. We ask you to speak to us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Speak to us in our heart. Help us to hear you. And I pray for those of us who this morning are struggling in darkness, who are in a pit that they can't extricate themselves from, that, Father, they will be able to hear you, to hear your voice in the pit, because there is no place that we go as your children that you are not with us. You were with Daniel in the lion's den, and you delivered him. And your desire this morning is to deliver every man and woman who names the name of Christ. You will deliver us out of every pit. That is your promise and is our hope. And we bless you now this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, I'm talking this morning about trusting God in the dark. And I shared with you that the message has really come out of a lot of things that God has been leading me through. Doesn't matter how long you walk with the Lord, at some point in your life, you're going to wind up in a pit. You're going to get there. And when I talk about trusting God in the dark, I'm really talking about the things that God taught me, the things that I understand, and the things that He's worked into me. And when I talk about dark, I mean those periods of your life when, for lack of a better description, you're just in a hole. You're in a pit. Your vision is limited to what's just immediately in front of you. And what you're thinking about really is more about what you don't have than what you do have. And what I want you to understand is that's the problem, because that's your focus. You're thinking about more what you don't have than what you do have as a child of God. And it's a time of confusion. You don't know why you're in the pit, but you're in one, and you can't get out. You can't get out of it. Now, why is this important for us? And I really debated. I said, Lord, this is Thanksgiving month. And here I am talking about being in a pit. But I think if I can help lead you out of a pit, it'll be a good Thanksgiving. Would you agree with that? I'd rather Thanksgiving Day to not be in a pit. And so every child of God gets in a pit. And I want you to look at the truth in your outline, if you will, this morning. Pits in the life of a child of God serve multiple purposes. There are main purposes, but there'll be different ones. And last week we learned that when we're in a pit, God is teaching you and me. Now watch this. He is teaching me and you to wait on Him. And I sought to drive that home. And here's the insight I give to you in your outline. My ability and your ability to wait on God is fed by one thing, trusting Him. My ability to wait is dependent on my level of trust in Him. Again and again in our text, we are told, if you remember, go back and read those passages again. Again and again, what was God's word that He said to you and me? What He said was, wait on the Lord. He said, trust Him. Wait on Him. Trust Him. The title of our message today is really a question. And that question is, can God be trusted by you? Do you trust Him? And so the thing this morning is, do I ask that question, can I trust God? Or have I answered it, I can trust Him? And the evidence of my life is that I am doing that. So, in the whole thing about learning to trust Him, let me just start off. What is the pathway to doing that? Because that's why I want to help you trust Him this morning, all right? And so the first step out of a pit, number one in your outline is this. If you want to get out of your pit, number one, change your focus. Change your focus. You see, someone this morning, in all three services that we're going to have here, someone is hoping for a job change. And maybe that job that they're in is that pit. It's like it's got a hold of them. Or somebody is wanting a partner, a life partner, to just do life with. You know, God has not given you the spirit of celibacy, the gift of celibacy. You need to be with somebody. There's going to be somebody in these services that has a marriage that they won't put back together. You know, you don't have to have a legal divorce to be divorced. And there are a lot of people living, men and women, living in a home, and they're divorced. They're emotionally separated. It's just two people living under the same roof. But there's not a marriage there. That whatever happened to that marriage, it's gone. And so there's somebody somewhere who is saying, I want out of this pit. I want it to be better. Somebody, some mom, some dad has been praying to God, maybe for months, if not years, for a child to come back home. And you cried a bucket of tears. Somebody's wanting a miracle, a physical healing. Am I going to be like this for the rest of my life? Is my body going to be in this condition? Somebody wrestling with the why of a tragedy. Why did that happen? Why did this occur to me? And maybe even, and I really hate this, but maybe even there's somebody here in one of these other two services that they have a disappointment in their life, and they are in worship this morning simply by the grace of God, because the biggest hurt in their life came from somebody who claimed to be a child of God, maybe even a pastor, who claimed to be a God follower, and then they did something that just totally blew somebody away. So here's a question for us today. Do you know enough about God to trust Him even in the dark time of your life? And when I tell you, if I was to tell you while you're down, you're in the doldrums, everything looks dark and black around you. If I was to tell you because you came to me. And I said, listen, you must trust God to be faithful. Just trust Him. Trust the Lord. Now, would your response be that your eyes would cross and you would think, I don't even know what that means. What do you mean, trust Him? How in the world am I supposed to do that? I don't even know how to do that. Here's the thing. The greatest need, let me give this to you. The greatest need of your life this morning is for you to get your focus off of what you want from God. What is it that you're wanting? What is it that you're wrestling with down in that pit? Your greatest need this morning, listen, is this. This is what God told me. My greatest need when I'm in the pit, and it's one of the hardest things to do, is to get my focus off of what I want and focus on the God who protects me and has watched over me all of my life, the God who has guided me and led me here and led me there and been so faithful, and the God who has provided for me. And how many of us this morning cannot testify that God has done all those things for you? Amen. Would you say amen? He's protected, He's guided, He has provided for you. Because see, here's the thing. You cannot trust somebody you don't know. And what we learned last week was, if you know Him, what you want in your life, what you're desiring, if you're down in the pit, what you're wanting is most likely what the Father is wanting for you. Why? Because you belong to Him. His Spirit is inside of you. And so what you want is most likely what God is wanting for you. But what God is saying to you is this. Everything I want for you operates on a schedule. And what I want you to do is I want you to get your life in alignment with my schedule for you. What I want for you is going to come about when it is the right time. And your work is to trust me. Trust me. Look, James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father who never changes. See, here's the thing. Where are you at the core of your very being in believing what God just told us in Scripture? That God, I believe every good thing and every perfect thing comes from you. All good stuff that has come into my life comes from you. I totally buy into that. Listen, do you buy into that? Do you buy into it? That everything you've got, everything you have ever hoped for, everything good that you have ever received has come from Him. Everything has come to you from Him. That God has a schedule, and He is telling you, I've been faithful to you, I have watched over you, I have guided you, and what I'm wanting you to do right now is I'm wanting you to focus on me, put your attention on me, because what I want to give you is coming to you, but it's going to come to you not when you want it, it's going to come by my schedule. And I'm going to take care of you. Now, if you're a child of God, here's the truth for you. Look in your outline. Right now, God is arranging unseen circumstances to answer your prayer. God is working right now. Psalm 57, verse 2. It is God who accomplishes all things for you. And I know this morning that there is pressure and angst and worry maybe that you feel in your pit. And I know that it is huge. And I get it, that it is hard to shift your focus from what you want. I want that child to come home. I need that job. I need some doctor to be able to understand what I'm going through. This is a difficult time that I'm having in my life. How much longer am I going to have to put up with this? I get it. God gets it, that it is really hard for you to shift your focus from what you want. But I assure you this morning, you will have better days if you will listen. Psalm 138, verse 8, the Lord will work out His plans for your life. His faithful love endures forever. But maybe you're saying this morning, listen, Brother John, I hear what you're saying. You don't understand where I am. Isn't it true? We don't think anybody's got problems like we do. You know, our problems are, I know that, but just, you know, here. And so somebody's maybe saying, Pastor, you don't understand. I need a job. I've got bills to pay. We've got these thoughts in our mind. It's got to happen, and it's got to happen now. I'm not talking about weeks. I'm not talking about months. God, I need it, and I need it now. I get it. And now more than ever in your life, now listen to me, more than ever in your life, you need a miracle worker on your team. Would you agree with that? How many times do we need a miracle worker? Oh, God, I just need you to get in here among me and do something. Listen, God knew your need before you ever realized you had it. God already knew that. God already knew what your need was. Now listen, God has an answer already for your problem, and he's already got the provision. And God said, listen, he said, what I want you to do is I want you to focus on me. And I want you to rest in me because I know what you need. It was a surprise to you when it happened, but I already knew it was coming. I already knew you had a need that was going to rise up. And I've already been working on that need. Isn't that good news? Before it ever happens to me, my Father's already been working on it. Philippians 4:19, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And then there's Deuteronomy 8:18, you shall remember the Lord your God. Why? Because it is he who is giving you power to make wealth. Now listen, if you and I don't draw near to the provider, if I'm not near to him, then I'm not hearing him. I'm not hearing him talk to me. He's my provider. Everything I have comes from him. And if I fail to seek him and obey him, listen, I will miss when God says, whoa, stop. But see, I'm not listening. And I keep on going. And way back over here, God said, I told you to stop. And you just kept on going. Why? Because you're not listening. You are focused on what your need is. You are focused on what is grabbing your attention. And God said, you got your attention on the wrong thing. I am the answer to your problem. Listen to me. When I tell you to stop, stop. Stop right there. Why? Because I already know how I'm going to provide for you. And if you're not careful, you're going to miss my provision. Look at the inside in your outline, because I want you to remember this. God may not provide in the ways that you expect, but he never forsakes those who seek him. Psalm 9 and verse 10. And Psalm 9 and 10 says, God doesn't abandon those who, listen, search for him. If I want the Father providing for my home, if I want God watching over my family, God says in the scripture, I take care, I will not abandon those who search for me. Now listen, men, listen to me. You are the doorway and the pathway of blessing into the life of your family. And if you are not listening to him, you're going to miss God's provision for your family. If you've got smaller children, there's coming a time when those kids are going to be going off to college or going into schooling or whatever. They're going to have needs while they're under your care all through those. Listen, God already wants to take care and help you be the father to provide for them. But God said, you've got to listen to me. I know what you need. I will never abandon you. But there are ways I will provide for you that are not going to be normal ways. Why? Because I don't think like you. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And if you are not listening to him, you will miss God when he's going to provide for you in a way you never thought he's going to provide for you. So look at the truth in your outline. When you focus on what you lack, it creates despair and it stirs your sin nature. Just get you all stirred up. Get you all worked up. God is faithful. You can trust him. You can trust him. So it raises a question, number two, do you really know him? I want to ask you this morning, listen, are you sure that you know that you know that you know him? This is so critical if you've never just really settled on this before. Here's the insight. It is impossible to trust God if you don't know him. Why? Because my ability to trust God, and listen, my ability to trust God is not in me. It's not in me. I do not normally or naturally trust my Creator. I trust me. I trust what makes sense to me. And my ability to wait on God comes from one source. It comes from the indwelling Holy Spirit of God living in me. But until I trust Christ as the Lord and the Savior of my soul, I don't have the Holy Spirit living in me. He's not in here. He doesn't dwell in this. My house is not a home to the Lord God. My house is not his temple. My body is not his temple. And that means I don't have his leadership. And here's what I want to challenge you with this morning. I want you for just a moment, and just work with me here. I want you to think, if this service was your last few moments on planet Earth, your day, this is your last day. Before this service is over, if you knew before this service is over that your heart, sometime between now and then, your heart's going to stop. You're going to stop breathing. Your face is going to go ashen gray, and your skin is going to go cold. Graveyard dead. Are you okay with that? Think about it. Are you okay with that? Now, I'm not saying that you want it today. You're like, okay, I know I'm going, but it's not like I'm wanting to get up a trip right now. But would it be okay with you? Panic isn't there that you're about to meet God because you've got peace that you're about to stand in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and you know that everything between you and him is all right. You're okay. The Bible says in Galatians 5:22, if God the Holy Spirit is in you, it's because you are indeed saved. Now listen, and when you think about heaven, when you think about leaving here, when you think about them lowering your body into the ground and covering you up with dirt, there is hope and there is peace and there is a settled joy down inside of you that I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be all right. Now, if thinking about dying, there is fear that rises up in you and dread and regret. Listen, God wants you to know for sure that when you die, you're going to be welcomed into heaven. He wants you to know that. And you've got to realize there needs to be some time in your life where you realize Jesus Christ is the only Savior and he paid your sin debt to God. That Jesus didn't come just to die for the sins of the world. He came to die for you. And you know that. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, meaning hell, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, if you admit to God you're a sinner, that Jesus Christ didn't just die for the sins of the world, he died for you. With God, it's personal. And that you tell him, I am accepting Jesus Christ as my only hope. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a Baptist. I'm not going to heaven because I've been baptized. I'm going to heaven because I could look you in the face and say, I asked you to save me. And you know that Jesus Christ would not say, I've never heard you cry out to me. I've never heard you ask me. You see, you don't bank on walking the aisle somewhere. You don't bank on the fact that you've been publicly dunked. You bank on the fact that you know that you know there was that time in your life, I know I called out to you and I asked you to save me. Romans 10 and verse 9. For if you tell others, see, here's the deal. Can you tell somebody, I've been born again? I know that I've been saved. For if you can tell others with your own mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord and believe in your own heart God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, I want to tell you something. That's the pathway to being able to trust him. Because you cannot trust a God you do not know. You've got to know him. Would you agree with that? You got to know him in the core of your being. And if I know him in the core of my being, I've got the basis for trusting him and putting everything I've got into his hands. And if that's hard for you this morning, you need to think about, do I know that I know that I've ever asked him to save me and be the Lord of my life? Which brings me to number three, and that is this. Listen, God wants you to know above everything else, he is God. You see, that's what I need to dwell in, that he is God. Look in your outline. Right now, you must accept the reality Jesus Christ is God and he is ruler of everything that there is. You see, that's how I begin to get myself out of the pit. Psalm 46 and 10, be still and know that I am God. God, listen, when you're in the midst of your pit, God wants you, he said, listen, what I want you to do is this. You are fretting about this job, about the child coming home, about your marriage, about this issue and about that issue. And what God is saying, he's saying, listen, take a breath and take a knee. I want you to get still before me. Calm down. Take a knee. Get still. Stop with the panic, because the invincible, infinite, supreme God of all gods has utter power over everything in my life. And that God is saying, through Jesus Christ, my son and your savior, I am with you. I am with you. And I rule over everything. He is over everything. This is the God that I'm going to. Daniel 2, verse 21. World events are under his control. He removes kings and sets others on their thrones. He gives wise men their wisdom and scholars their intelligence. See, listen, that's the God I need to have in my mind. That's the God that I get on my knees before. This is the God who can do anything. He can do anything. He is the supreme ruler. He is before time ever existed, and he works outside of time. Isaiah 46, 9, I am God, I only, there is no other one like me who can tell you what is going to happen. Everything I say will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. Listen, I'm not going to change God's mind about anything. God's already got a plan for me. He's got a plan for my marriage. He's got a plan for the church I pastor. God has got a plan for my life, and that's what's gonna happen. God is Lord. And what I want to do is, I want to get myself at peace with it. Listen, because God loves me, cares for me. He said, I know what needs to happen in your life. I know what needs to happen in the life of your child. I know what needs to happen in your life with the physical issues that you've got. I know what needs to happen with your job. I know everything. I already have a plan. It is not about you trying to convince me about your plan. It is about you and I bowing for him and saying, God, you already know what needs to be done. And you want the very best. You know what my heart is about my child. You know what my heart is about my marriage. Oh, God, I want to surrender to you, and I want to trust you that you know what needs to happen. This is what my desire is. And so I'm believing what I want is what you're wanting. And so, God, I want to focus on you, and I want to wait on you to do what you're going to do at just the right time. Listen to Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Now, I don't know what went through your mind when I told you God's already got a plan. God already has a plan in the life of your child, in your life, in your marriage, in your job, in your health. God, I don't know what went through your mind that you may be afraid. I hope he's wanting what I'm wanting. Listen, here's what God says. I know my plans I have for you. And they are plans for your welfare, the welfare of your children, the welfare of your soul, the welfare of your marriage, the welfare of your job. It is not for calamity. It is to give you a future. It is to give you a hope. And he said, listen, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek for me and you will find me. Listen, how? When you search for me with all your heart. What God is wanting more than anything else is God is wanting us. He is wanting us. Search for me and I will take care of it. Here's the truth in your outline. God is good and kind to you and committing to see you through every trial you face. So I want you to bow your heads for just a moment. Would you heads bowed and eyes closed? There are, and you can look at your life point outline because I've got five things that I want to challenge you with. While your heads are down, just look at that. This morning, I want to call on you to just come in just a moment. There are five areas of commitment, five decisions I want to put in front of you. Number one, that someone this morning would commit your life and your soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. That you want to come this morning, you're going to stand out here because you're saying, I want to trust Jesus to be my Savior and the Lord of my life. I want to lay my life in His hands. I need to know somebody is watching out for me. And they have only good intended for me. And I'm going to invite you to come from wherever you are in just a moment because you're coming to commit your heart and your life to Him. Number two, some of you are coming this morning and the issue is trust. You're coming this morning because you want to trust God and you want to give Him the time He requires to work in your behalf. That you know God has a season for your life and there is a reason you're going through what you're going through. There are issues. God is working in your life. And what you're saying this morning is, Father, I want to trust you. I know you're wanting to do some changing in me, and I just want to trust you. And so you're going to come this morning, stand here at the front, just, Father, I'm going to trust you. You are up to something in my life. Number three, that you're going to respect Him. That God, I believe you're only going to do what is best for me. And honor Him with that. Father, I trust you. I respect you as a God who's going to take care of me and bless my life. Then number four, that you're coming this morning saying, Father, I will, by your grace, I'm not going to lose heart. You're going to be the object of my attention. And I believe this morning, I'm standing here believing that at the right time, you're going to provide for me. At the right time, I'm going to walk out of this dark place and I'm going to walk back into the light. And then number five, that you will say this morning, Father, I trust you to do what is best for me. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait on you to act. I'm going to trust you. Now I want to ask you, one of these has touched you in your heart this morning. And I'm going to ask you, as the music begins, let's all stand together. And I want to ask you to begin to come and find your place here at the front.